turns gold. There's a cold monkey with a heart so bold, tapping on keys like they're made of pure soul. Building dreams out of digits, making websites roll. Oh, Austin Cold Monkey, working all night. SEO wizard making ladies take flight. From the Texas heat to the neon glow, you're the cult of your game at the SEO show.
Imagine missing out on, like, nearly half of your potential customers. Not because your product is bad and not because your website is slow, but simply because your last 5-star review was written maybe 8 months ago.
Yeah, which is a surprisingly common scenario for a lot of great businesses.
Right, because for the longest time, I think most of us, whether you actually own a business or you just navigate the web as a consumer, we've looked at online reviews like a digital tip jar. You provide a good service, you put your business out there, and you just sort of, you know, hope people drop a nice 5-star rating in the jar on their way out.
Exactly, just a little digital pat on the back. We treat it as this completely passive validation mechanism. Mm-hmm. And, well, the problem with that passive mindset is that it completely misunderstands the architecture of the modern web. Treating reviews like a tip jar is precisely why so many high-quality businesses are, frankly, virtually invisible today.
And changing that perspective, getting out of that tip jar mindset, is the mission of today's deep dive. Yeah. We are completely reframing how you look at online reviews and honestly, how you view your own participation in the digital economy every time you leave a rating.
It's a huge paradigm shift.
It really is. We're pulling from a brand new strategy guide published today, actually, June 24, 2026. It comes from an agency called Austin Code Monkey, and they operate out of Austin, Texas, obviously. They specialize in local SEO and AI search optimization.
Yeah, and it's worth noting that the guide itself is specifically aimed at businesses in Northwest Austin.
Right, places like Great Hills, the Arboretum, or, you know, near the Domain.
But the mechanics it reveals about how search algorithms actually operate, I mean, those are completely universal. Mm-hmm. The location just provides a testing ground for a global reality. The goal today is to really show you why hoping for good reviews is just a guaranteed losing strategy. We're going to look under the hood to see how top-tier businesses are actively engineering their visibility, they're structuring their data, and playing this highly sophisticated game of algorithmic signal boosting. It is a system, not a game of luck.
Okay, let's unpack this, because to really understand why that digital tip jar mentality is dead, we have to look at the raw mathematical reality of local search first. And according to the source material, everything hinges on a piece of digital real estate known as the local pack.
Right, the local pack. That is that highly coveted 3-pack of businesses that shows up right at the top of Google Maps results when you search for a service.
Like when I search for a plumber or something.
Exactly. If you search best plumber near me, you don't get a list of blue links first anymore. You get a map and 3 businesses listed right below it. And according to the data in the guide, that tiny piece of real estate eats up roughly 44% of all local search clicks.
Almost half. Half of the traffic goes to just those 3 spots.
It's massive.
So imagine that local pack is like the VIP section of a really exclusive club. I think most business owners think having a beautiful, expensive website or, you know, running a clever social media account is what gets them in.
That's the assumption. Yeah.
But the source material clarifies that reviews actually act as the bouncer's clipboard. Like, if you aren't actively managing those reviews, your beautiful website doesn't even matter. You are stuck on page 2, just waiting in a line that isn't moving.
What's fascinating here is just how heavily the algorithm weighs that clipboard compared to literally everything else. The guide cites a 2024 WhiteSpark Local Search Ranking Factors survey, which, for context, is a massive industry benchmark. Mm-hmm. And that survey found that review signals account for approximately 16% of local pack ranking factors.
16%. I mean, 16% of the entire equation for whether a business succeeds or fails online comes down to this one specific category.
Yeah, it's the second most influential on-page category, sitting right behind the signals coming from the Google Business Profile itself. And we really have to think about why Google designs the algorithm this way.
Okay, why do they?
Well, Google's primary product is trust. If Google Maps recommends a physical therapist, and that therapist provides just a terrible experience, the user stops trusting Google.
Oh, right. You blame the app that sent you there.
Exactly. So to protect its own reputation, Google heavily relies on crowdsourced structured feedback. It isn't just, you know, counting the total number of stars you have. The algorithm evaluates the sheer volume, the recency of the posts, how often the owner responds, and incredibly importantly, keyword relevance.
And that brings up a critical point about the mechanism of the algorithm itself. It's so easy to picture the algorithm as just a calculator, right? Just tallying up the math of 4.8 stars versus 4.2 stars.
Just doing basic averages.
Right. But Google's algorithm has natural language processing capabilities. It has actual reading comprehension. It is literally reading the text of what we type into those review boxes.
It is aggressively parsing the actual text of customer reviews to build a topical map of a business's relevance. The guide offers a really highly specific example of this.
Yeah, the physical therapist one.
Right. Let's look at a physical therapist in Northwest Austin. If three of their recent patients leave reviews that specifically include the phrases lower back pain or post-surgery recovery, those exact strings of words carry massive algorithmic weight.
Because when the next user in the area types help with lower back pain into their phone, Google cross-references that query with the text it just indexed from those patient reviews.
The connection is instantaneous. And the brilliant part of this dynamic is that the business owner didn't write those keywords on their own website. The customer generated that content organically.
Which is huge.
It is. Because Google trusts customer-generated keywords exponentially more than the marketing copy written by a business owner who is, you know, obviously just trying to sell you something.
But wait, I see businesses that have been around for a decade with hundreds of reviews, but then a brand new spot opens up, gets a fraction of that, and somehow just jumps them in the rankings. How does the math work there if the older business has so many more keywords already banked?
That introduces the concept of recency, which is a massive blind spot for legacy businesses. Volume alone used to win the game, but the rules have fundamentally changed.
Okay.
The strategy guide points out that a business with 30 fresh, well-received reviews will consistently outrank a legacy business with 150 stale reviews.
Stale meaning like the business hasn't received a new review in a certain time frame.
Say maybe 8 or 9 months. If your last review was posted in 2022, your profile is quietly tanking your local rankings, even if that historical review was a glowing, keyword-rich 5 stars.
Wow.
Yeah, the algorithm interprets a steady stream of fresh reviews as proof of life. It proves the business is currently active, currently trustworthy, and currently serving real people at a high level.
Let me push back on that logic for a second, though, because that seems almost unfair to consistent businesses. Are you saying that if a business has a flawless, perfect 5-star rating from 2 years ago, but an imperfect 4.5-star average based on reviews from just this month, the algorithm actually prefers the recent imperfection?
Yes. The algorithm favors the recent, slightly imperfect data over the perfect, outdated data every single time.
That is wild. I mean, it's kind of like having to choose between a freshly baked, slightly misshapen chocolate chip cookie right out of the oven versus a perfectly symmetrical, flawless cookie that was baked in, you know, 2022 and has just been sitting in a display case.
I love that analogy.
The algorithm wants the fresh cookie, even if it's got a few bumps, because it knows it's real and current. Nobody wants to eat a 2-year-old cookie.
Exactly. The fresh cookie proves the bakery's oven is on today. And going a step further, the algorithm isn't just reading the text the customer provides. It is monitoring the entirety of the interaction. It is judging the conversation.
So if the algorithm loves fresh, keyword-rich text from the customer, it must be analyzing the other half of the conversation too, like what the business owner says back.
Oh, absolutely.
What happens when a customer leaves a glowing review or even a terrible one and the owner just ghosts them?
That creates what the guide refers to as the void. And it is a massive algorithmic and psychological missed opportunity. Google has directly confirmed in its own documentation that responding to reviews improves your local visibility.
Really? Just replying?
Just replying. Because when you leave a review unanswered, you are signaling to the crawler that the storefront is basically unmanaged.
So the guide lays out a strict system to counter this, right? This rapid response protocol, it mandates answering every single review, whether it's a glowing 5 stars or an angry 1 star within 48 hours.
Right. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, replying within 48 hours isn't just an arbitrary customer service goal. When an owner replies, the text they type into that response box is fully crawlable and indexed by Google's spiders.
Wait, really? The replies are indexed?
Yes. It provides a secondary opportunity to build topical relevance. By naturally including the specific service provided and the micro location in the reply, The owner is feeding the algorithm highly localized data points.
Let me make sure I understand the mechanics of that. So if someone leaves a review saying, great job fixing my roof, the amateur move is just hitting reply and saying, thanks.
Yeah, that's a wasted opportunity.
The optimized move is saying something like, thanks for letting us handle your roof repair here in Great Hills.
You've got it. You are artificially anchoring your digital entity to that specific service in that specific neighborhood in the algorithm's database. Is a compounding data strategy.
Okay, but what about the negative reviews? Like, if someone is just trolling, or if a customer had a genuinely bad experience, does engaging with that one-star review actually help? Because I think the instinct for most of us is to ignore the haters and just let the bad review get buried.
Oh, the guide is incredibly clear on this. A single ignored one-star review costs the business more clicks than five new five-star reviews can recover.
The damage is that severe. Wow.
It really is.
Yeah.
Because it operates on two fronts. Algorithmically, like we said, an ignored negative review signals a lack of engagement. But psychologically, future consumers are watching.
Right.
When a potential customer sees a bad review just hanging out there in the void with zero response from management, they assume the complaint is 100% accurate. A professional de-escalating response to a negative review shows future customers that the business is legitimate and accountable.
So you aren't really managing the angry customer at that point. You are performing for the audience of future customers who are reading the interaction.
Exactly. You're writing it for the next 10 people who read it.
Okay. So we know the math, we understand the natural language processing, and we know there's a strict 48-hour response window. The practical question is, how on earth does a small business actually do this without it becoming a full-time job?
It's overwhelming.
The guide mentions that most businesses operate on hope. They hope they remember to ask for a review, and they hope the customer remembers to write it.
But hope doesn't rank. To survive in this landscape, a business has to transition from hope to an engineered system. The guide calls it building a review machine.
A review machine?
Yeah, and the first critical element of that machine is understanding timing and friction. The ask for the review must happen at the absolute peak moment of customer satisfaction. That is usually the exact minute the service is finished, the project is delivered, or, you know, the transaction clears.
You strike while the dopamine is highest.
Precisely. And in that peak moment, you have to completely eliminate friction. The data in the guide is brutal regarding consumer psychology. Every extra step a customer has to take loses the business roughly 30% of potential reviews.
30% per step. Let's think about the cognitive load of that. If I have a great experience at a coffee shop and they ask me to review them and I have to pull out my phone, open a browser, that's a 30% drop off right there because I might get a text from my mom and get distracted.
Yep, happens all the time.
Then I have to type their name into Google, another 30% lost. I have to find the correct business profile among three places with similar names, another 30% gone. By the time the review box is actually open, the business has lost almost everyone.
The cognitive friction is just way too high. A direct link sent via text message or email that opens a review box immediately, that is non-negotiable.
Now, here's where it gets really interesting to me. The guide introduces a tactic called keyword coaching without coaching. Because obviously, a business can't just hand a customer a script and say, please paste this into Google, best Northwest Austin plumber for pipe repair.
No, absolutely not. Google's policy prohibits incentivizing or scripting reviews, and anyone reading it would spot it as fake immediately anyway.
Yeah, it sounds robotic.
You cannot put words in the customer's mouth.
Uh-huh.
The algorithm has spam filters looking for identical copy-pasted phrases hitting a profile simultaneously. But you can strategically set the context of the conversation right before they write the review.
Wait, if you are guiding the context, does Google's algorithm have a way of detecting if a bunch of customers suddenly start using phrases like kitchen remodel? Like, if you over-engineer this prompt, don't you risk triggering that exact spam filter you just mentioned?
Well, that is the genius of the psychological approach here. You aren't giving them a script. You're planting a seed in your thank you message. Instead of sending a generic text that says, please review us, you send a message that says, thanks for trusting us with your kitchen remodel. Or, we loved helping you with your post-surgery recovery. We'd love your feedback.
Oh, I see.
Human nature dictates that customers will naturally echo back the language you just used in your prompt, but they will wrap it in their own unique sentence structure.
So they end up writing, these guys did a great job on my kitchen remodel. The organic keyword is planted, the phrasing is unique enough to bypass the spam filter, and the algorithm just eats it up. That is incredible, and I imagine this machine has to run everywhere, not just on Google.
Oh, absolutely. Cross-platform monitoring is essential. Google is obviously the undisputed king of local search. But the guide notes that platforms like Yelp, Facebook, Hers, HealthGrades, and Avvo, they all feed into your overall digital authority.
Right.
The algorithm checks those secondary sites to verify the legitimacy of your Google profile.
Okay, so a business owner implements all of this. They set up the direct text links, they master the keyword coaching, they commit to the 48-hour reply rule. How long until they actually see the needle move? Do they just wake up in the VIP section the next morning?
I wish. No, it requires sustained patience. The guide outlines a very specific timeline. It takes about 60 to 90 days to see measurable movement in local visibility. Mm-hmm. And it takes 3 to 6 months to build full algorithmic momentum.
Okay, so a few months.
Yeah. Generally, for those top three spots in the local pack, the sweet spot is having a sustained baseline of 40 to 120 reviews, constantly refreshed.
It's a compounding machine. Month three looks better than month one. Month six looks better than month three. But just as a business gets this machine running perfectly for Google Maps, the technological landscape shifts again. The guide dives into something that fundamentally changes everything we just talked about, which is AI search.
Yeah. We are witnessing a massive paradigm shift away from traditional search engines toward AI assistants. We're talking about tools like Google's AI Overviews, ChatGPT, Gemini, Perplexity, and Claude.
Right.
These systems aren't just returning a list of blue links or a map. They are actively synthesizing data from across the web and making direct, singular recommendations to the user.
So if I ask an AI, who is the most reliable roofer near the domain? It's not giving me options to browse. It's actually evaluating the businesses on its own and giving me an answer. Austin CodeMonkey refers to optimizing for this as AIO, AI search optimization.
Yes. The challenge is making sure the AI actually sees all those hard-earned reviews we just talked about.
Yep.
The secret weapon here is implementing something called local business schema markup.
Okay, let me see if I have the mechanics of this right, because this sounds highly technical. Standard website text, the paragraphs you and I read on a homepage, is incredibly messy for a bot to parse. It has to guess what the words mean in context.
Right, it's unstructured data.
So local business schema markup acts like invisible filing cabinet labels buried in the back-end code of the website. It explicitly tags a piece of data as review stars, 5, or service area, Northwest Austin. That way, an AI crawler like ChatGPT doesn't have to read the marketing copy. It just opens the digital filing cabinet and grabs the exact, perfectly formatted data point.
That is a brilliant way to visualize it. Mm-hmm. You're structuring the data so the machine doesn't have to think. If a business's review signals and location data aren't clean and structured in the schema layer, they literally become invisible to the AI assistants.
Wow.
The AI won't recommend the business because it can't easily parse their reputation data. You could have 500 glowing reviews on Google, but if your schema markup isn't translating that data for the AI crawlers, you don't exist in the new search ecosystem.
That is terrifying for businesses that rely purely on aesthetics, and the agencies are fighting back with AI of their own, right? The guide mentions a tool called Review Reply AI. Because if a business actually succeeds and starts getting dozens of reviews a week, drafting unique, keyword-rich, localized responses within 48 hours for every single one becomes mathematically impossible for a small business owner.
Yeah, it creates a massive operational bottleneck. So agencies are deploying AI tools to automatically draft on-brand, localized, keyword-optimized responses. The business owner just logs in, reviews the drafted responses, hits approve, and the system publishes them.
That saves so much time.
It does. But this raises an important question, though. As these systems become increasingly automated, how do small business owners keep up with both human customers and AI crawlers simultaneously without drowning in technical debt? Because the complexity of merely existing online has just skyrocketed.
So, what does this all mean? If we step back and look at the entire system we've unpacked today, it means the digital storefront is no longer a static billboard. You don't just paint your sign, put out a tip jar, and walk away.
No, absolutely not.
Visibility is maintained through a rigorous compounding system of localized, keyword-rich interactions. You need fresh data to prove you're alive. You need to subtly prompt customers for the right words. You need to reply to every piece of feedback instantly to feed the algorithm. And you need the invisible technical backend, the schema markup, to serve all of that data on a silver platter to the new AI tools.
It is a profound shift from passive hope to active structural management. And honestly, looking at the entire architecture of this system leaves me with one final thought to mull over. We just broke down how businesses are carefully coaching human customers to naturally use algorithmic keywords in their reviews.
Right.
And then the business is turning around and utilizing AI tools to write the responses back to those human customers, ensuring the replies are also perfectly optimized.
So the humans and the machines are completely intertwined in the conversation.
Exactly. If the AI assistants like Claude, Gemini, and ChatGPT are the ones ultimately reading all this structured data to make local recommendations, are we rapidly approaching a reality where the entire system of local reputation is just AI talking to AI? The machines are essentially writing the prompts, the machines are drafting the replies, and the machines are reading the results to make the final recommendation while we humans just sit back and eat tacos they suggest.
We are just the meat in the middle of highly optimized, artificially intelligent conversation about tacos. I love that. But it really brings it all full circle. That old digital tip jar doesn't stand a chance. If you aren't actively engineering your spot on the bouncer's clipboard, the AI isn't even going to know you exist.
Nope.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Take a look at your own digital storefront. Think about the machinery behind those fresh cookies. And as always, stay insanely curious.
New from the Austin Code Monkey Underground Lab, the Austin Code Monkey AI Review Response Generator. Our SEO chimp got tired of writing review replies, so we built AI. Utilize it for your business because nobody opens their laptop excited to reply to Google, Yelp, Facebook, and TripAdvisor reviews. Visit Austin Code Monkey for more details at austincodemonkey.com.
Austin Code Monkey delivers expert web design and SEO services for businesses that want more calls, more leads, and more jobs. Our SEO strategies ensure your online presence keeps growing and bringing in results. For more information, call 737-932-7532 or visit our website at austincodemonkey.com.
Austin Code Monkey. Working all night, SEO wizard making rankings take flight. From the Texas heat to the neon glow, you're the code slinging king of the SEO show.